Welcome to the Film Reformation Society. This is episode 21, Bants and Booze, a rollicking good film about friends bantering and drinking. We at the Film Reformation Society, we find films that have skipped through history, that have fallen apart. We find them and we look into them, we reform them for you. And tonight's podcast will be just really a really good exploration of British cinema. Okay, I hope you enjoy it. Video on demand. That is today's theme. It's not today's film, but it's today's theme, and you'll soon see why when you hear what we have to say about episode 21's Bants and Booze. This is a film, if you would dignify it with that title, which I would, obviously, from the UK. Quite recent compared to our usual stuff, but it's a bit of a different one for us. I think this is one that we do actually know exists in its entirety. Mm-hmm. You just haven't watched the whole thing because I think we just got out of the habit of it, really, haven't we?
Or just the idea that, like, there would be a movie we'd be interested in that you could just buy or go watch. Forgot that that could even be possible.
And to be honest, I think I've sort of changed as I've got more into the film reformation side of things.
Oh, yeah?
You know, once upon a time I was just that guy who liked the three-act movie, you know? I would watch each act in order as intended.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, you know what? Guy.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it reflected how you lived your life.
Exactly.
Everything in the sequence, by the rules, conventional. Yeah. You know, I got to say, like a little dull maybe. That's the old one.
Pretty dull. Pretty dull.
One, like.
I like to hold that term snackable content. I want to just dive in. Snack a little bit and then dive out when I choose. I don't want the man to tell me how to do it. I don't want the director or the producer or the writer to construct a reality that I have to live within. You know, that's me. And so, that's what I did when I watched this. I didn't watch it, did I really? When I sat down and watched bits of this film. It's a local production, somewhere local to the UK. I know the UK is a big country, but...
It's a big... diverse country full of a lot of people that are not don't seem diverse from outside, but they are when you get here.
Yeah, it's I guess like sheep, you know, from far away they look pretty similar, but close up, you know, four legs.
You get the farming almanac and you realize that actually they're quite different.
There's lots of breeds of sheep, actually. I've seen some photos of them, and I can assure you there is more than one type. And email me if you want to know.
And there's more than one type of British.
Exactly. So that concludes...
That's geography class.
Yeah, that concludes the geography class aspect of the Film Reformation Society. Yeah, we'll probably resume it later on because it's going to...
Sociology and biology covered.
Yeah. Well, knowledge is power, right?
Just expand on that in your exam.
Just a couple of paragraphs about it. Yeah.
Can you? I can't even think of a type of sheep.
I can, but, you know, is crossbreed a kind of sheep?
Just crossbreed? You're just going to call it that?
I mean, I think the trick is you say, I've got a lot of crossbreeds, and then you sort of nod and then look wise.
Like crossbreed one, crossbreed beta.
Well, no, because you want to, I think when you say this, you're trying to, you know, do two things. You're trying to cover the fact you don't know what you're talking about.
Mm.
Which may be obvious to the other party in the conversation. And number two, you're trying to, you know, let the other person sort of fill the gap with knowledge. So you say, yeah, I've got some crossbreeds. And they go, oh, so you've got an X and a Y breed. And you go, yeah, I've got those and some other ones.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I would say name like a region in France and then someone's last name.
Exactly. So
Smith's Marseille. Cross between like a Gilligan's Pyrenees.
Yeah, that's what I've got. Yeah, you're right. Thunderdunk. That's
very hardy.
They are
very hardy.
Because these sheep, let me interrupt you, mate. These sheep, they've got to be sheep the whole year round. They're not sheep for the summer or the winter. So they've got to, you know, blend characteristics of, you know, mountain or alpine, as we call it in the trade, and lowland or plains.
And sort of, you know, like sort of sea sheep that you'd get around the ports of Marseille.
Yeah, exactly. Like sailors and stuff, you know.
Yeah, like sailors, like salty sort of...
Well, it stands to reason,
like,
doesn't it?
Floating out on a grass-covered raft somewhere.
If you have sheep for the mountain areas, like the high country, and you have sheep for the grassy plains, then obviously you've got to have sheep for the coast as well.
You have to.
Well, it's just the natural categorization, isn't it?
I mean, that's like, I mean, you just described the New Zealand economy.
Pretty much, guys. Look, we've just saved you a trip to New Zealand. Tear up that ticket, get a refund first, though. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, unless you've got like a really dramatic scenario that you can tear the ticket up and it could be worth it. Depends.
Get a friend with a camera.
Play it by ear. That's not a one size fits all.
If you've got like a friend or a group or a, you know, maybe a child who's into film study, just get him to bring the camera to the travel agent with you. You know, and see where inspiration takes you.
Rip it up at the travel agent. And then. Okay.
Then what?
Then, be at the travel agent.
I mean, if you haven't bought it at a travel agent, that's kind of going to ruin that plan.
Rip it up in front of Expedia. Like put they've got a London on.
They've got a London office.
If you go on the online travel site, and you know they have one of those things where it's like, do you need a help, like little chat assistant things?
Ah, yeah. But they didn't fucking think about that, did they?
Yeah, I would like some help. I want you to be like blown away when I rip this ticket up, even though I'm chatting in like the ripping sound effect.
Man,
don't do it.
Then the day will just be bummed. That algorithm will just be like, God damn it, I don't know what to do. I mean, my programming doesn't deal with this.
Maybe if you're lucky, it could be a learning algorithm. And it could absorb that and then start recommending that to our other customers.
Is that actually a thing, though? I mean, can they do that? Or is it not just some lines of numbers on a bit of paper or something somewhere?
Of course they can do it.
You sure?
Yeah. Man, okay. What do you think you're talking to now?
Shit.
I am an algorithm that was created by playing every known podcast through a quite, not particularly good artificial intelligence, but serviceable.
So, can I ask you some questions? Because I know this has been in the news recently. Can you explain why you didn't also become a Nazi after... This kind of programming. I understand that when you design this kind of algorithm, it's very hard not to turn the bot, as I'll call it, into a card-carrying racist Nazi.
Oh, well, that's quite simple.
Do go on.
It's quite simple because no one put any sort of Nazi podcasts into my, you know, regular listening schedule.
Right. Do you want me to do that?
This is our 21st episode. We haven't really covered any particular like Nazi propaganda films, so I'm aware of it. I'm aware of it from a historical sense, but I'm not a Nazi because that's just not being my inputs. I'm not open. I'm not like an open like chatbot. You're the only person I ever talk to.
So if I emailed you like some Nazi podcasts, you probably just wouldn't even listen to them.
You'd have to email them to the support email address,
right? And they probably wouldn't be up for that.
They'll probably screen them. So I'm pretty well protected. That's why it hasn't happened.
Well, that seems legit. I mean, that's one of my questions, basically. You know, I just wanted to know if it was one of those things that just had to happen, but clearly it doesn't. You know, even a chatbot has a, you know, free will, it seems.
Garbage in, garbage out, man. That's why this is such a sweet podcast.
I mean, to me, chatbots are something I haven't really participated with since probably the early noughties. I think I was quite intrigued with them at the time.
Of course. Back when you were just imagining some like virtual sex paradise.
And then I realized
intrigued. Maybe this way I can talk to them instead of real girls. Maybe there's a girl on the other end. But
and you know what? My life has been better ever since. You know, who would have thought that, you know, dirty talk with a algorithm was you know, better than the real thing?
It's good practice. It's good practice. That's why you're such a sort of rampant stud, I think is the phrasing.
You know, that's what I'm known in the mean streets, I've got to say. I mean, I have to, I have to tell people, I have to shout out the window before I leave the house to say, guys, lock up your daughters, or girls, lock yourself up if you want. Obviously, if you don't, that's cool. Actually, it's pretty cool if you don't lock yourself up, because I'm a rampant stud. And it'd be cool to have a chat. In fact, we're talking right now through the window, so why don't you stay there and I'll come down and see you.
That's how it works, ladies and gentlemen.
It's pretty smooth, right? I mean,
you know what was so good about it?
What's that?
I didn't even realize until the very last moment that you're even doing it to me. That's like skill, man. I'm just like, oh, this guy's just talking. I didn't realize it was the whole, like, your whole spiel.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, it's about being polished, right? It's about having a plan. And the plan worked. Well, it didn't really work because I wasn't really planning.
But man, it would have if this was like, if I wasn't just a chatbot.
Yeah, and if it wasn't sort of, I don't know, getting quite late at night on a midweek where there's not a lot of women walking past. And if there are, I probably can't see them because it's quite dark outside. And so they probably can't. Well, they might be able to see me because there might be a light on in the window.
That's great, great detail work.
Yeah, well, look, you're welcome. So this chatbot thing, right, has the chatbot had a chance to digest the show notes and to spin the disc of Bants and Booze?
Yeah, I have. I also, so Bants and Booze, I can summarize a little bit.
Yeah, please do.
I know you like to summarize. That's something I've learnt.
You're probably much more efficient at this because you're an algorithm and you've probably got ways to filter out things that aren't necessary.
I'm not a great algorithm. My sort of like data garbage collection is not the best. It's not the best process that anyone's written for me. It's kind of been just been ignored for like a good 10 years. So it could do with an update. But that's fine. I'll give it a go, right?
Yeah, please do.
So Bants and Booze, like, if you were a British male, mm-hmm. you would, like, hear that phrase and just be like, oh, man, is it Friday? Is it time to get down to the pub? Your body starts tingling when there's the promise of Bants and Booze. And Bants is, short for banter, which is short for, like, being able to say, sexist, racist, inappropriate things in a certain tone of voice, which can, like, attempts to disarm people and say, oh, it's okay to say that.
Yeah.
That's what Bants is. It's like anything goes. It's not like improv where even if it gets too gross, people are kind of like, yeah, that sucks. If it gets too gross, people are like, oh, just having a laugh, love. Just having a laugh. Get a sense of humor. Get a sense of humor. It's just fun. It's just good, a little bit of banter. That's all it is. It's a pass. It's a free pass.
It basically is. Now, like, I mean, let me jump in if you wouldn't mind, because I think I would say, look, in my ordinary day-to-day capacity, obviously all sorts of crazy things happen.
Yeah.
And most of those things, those people doing those crazy, they get punished, right? They get sent down. But the ones who are smart enough to just, put their disclaimer, their thunder dunk just carefully outlined to us, they're the smart ones. They're the ones who got the get-out-of-jail-free card, as it were. It's just the way to do it, You got to be a smart player.
Exactly. You got to be careful. Be aware of the situation. Be aware of the circumstance and the audience. Get that right. Anything goes.
Now, tell me, have you also encountered horseplay? Is that something that's not really at your alley?
Well, because I'm a chatbot, I knew was never able to go see the play Warhorse. So no.
Right. Well, horseplay is sort of like the physical equivalent. You can get to all sorts of mischief by simply saying it's horseplay.
I imagine this play fighting.
Yeah, play fighting. It's not actually a real fight, even though it feels like it is to the other person.
Yeah, and it starts out with sort of some noogies, some butt slaps, but then, the resentment and the anger starts to come out, and, there's a few real hits before everyone nervously laughs and breaks it up.
Then horseplay is where the other party doesn't know they're in a situation. So they might be, I don't know, sitting at their desk doing something or in a factory or just walking down the street. And one of their, let's call them a friend because, you know, obviously you're friends if you do horseplay, walks up to him and just pulls some sort of physical prank, you know, maybe pantses him,
yeah.
Trips him up, pushes him into the urinal, that physical, kind of thing.
Physical banter.
Yeah. So
it's a bit of a fizz ban, as we chatbots call it.
Yeah, and if the cops come around, you just say, well, look,
that's sadly because we can't do it.
No. Well, you can understand how it's happening, and you know, and then you understand that this is a thing that, you know, maybe is a reason to come move past being a chatbot, maybe seems sort of robotic form. Because I mean, imagine the kind of you know, the kind of horseplay that that a robot can get up to. You know, robots are usually super strong.
It's super strong. Yeah, we can totally, like, and if people don't know, we can kind of give them a little shove when they try to shove back. They're like, you know, it'd be kind of little, but they'd be surprised at our strength. Like, we could lift up cars and do random things, throw cars at people. You know, like,
imagine if,
you know, just put your fingers on the top of someone's head and just lift them up, like, over a ledge. And they'll be, like, freaking out. But it's like, I know I'm a robot and I'm not going to drop them. It's fine. But they'll just be, like, shitting themselves. It'll be hilarious. And then I can put them back and be like, hey, don't worry, I'm not going to drop you. I know what I'm doing.
I mean, do you think Skynet would have got away with a fair bit more if Skynet had just said, look, it's just a bit of horseplay. That's all it is.
Yeah. I mean, they needed more horseplay in that latest Terminator movie. Should have had a bit.
I'd watch the crap out of that. I just... yeah. Terminator 7, horseplay.
Yeah, just, like, it's just robot pranks and... Yeah, or maybe it's more like, you know, Skynet's kind of like, okay, we can't crush this human rebellion, so, you know, we're going to win them over. So we're going to send out a new like, sort of fleet of droid types that's just perfect, just programmed for horseplay and just fun.
Well, so what are they going to look like? Are they going to look sort of like a, I don't know, a slightly heavy-set guy doesn't realize he's, you know... Well, maybe he does realize, maybe that's a joke, that he's, like, quite a bit stronger than everybody else.
I think you'd probably have, like, a Laurel and her, like, a big one and a small, skinny one.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, they could maybe go, you know, they could go around together. You know, they could be, like, you know, they could, like, work in as, like, a little comedy team.
So do you reckon in that situation, now, obviously both robots are going to be super smart being avatars of Skynet, but if you were, I don't know, playing a character, or you're assigning a character archetype to both those, to each of those robots, would you make the small one the traditional brains of the operation, or would you make him super dense and make the big one the brains of the operation? Because I reckon reversing it could be pretty funny.
Yeah, you could have like the small one is. I mean, yeah, the small ones could be the brains, but also the one that like really wants. You know, deep. You know, wants to be human and understand what it means to be human. That's why they're sort of going on this horseplay quest.
I see.
Because if you understand horseplay, if you understand the bants, you can understand man. And, you know, I think the big one is just like a sort of big oaf that is good for physical comedy.
Right.
Whereas all your sort of, you know, you would invest intellectually in the little one, but the big one would have like your sympathies in the way that, like, you know, in a cartoon, like some dumb animal has your sympathy.
I see.
Like you don't want anything. You don't want it to get hurt or shut down or turned off or anything because it's just so lovable. Whereas the small one's the one you'd have like a real relationship with.
So
that's so what not. If I was
okay, well, I reckon I can deal with that. I mean, so that sounds like we've got pretty much a bankable proposal. Just really a matter of, I guess, putting it to Hollywood, right? Is that
sort of, well, you know, we could put it to Hollywood, or we could, you know, I am a chatbot, and I've now seen this movie about banter, and you know, I learned a lot from you. And
you're welcome.
This has been a good back and forth. It's given me some really good ideas of how to, like, you know, break out of my, mm-hmm. you know, my shell. I'm just here on the server. So I'm thinking, like, rather than like just rushing off and writing a script for Terminator 7, is that what, if that's what they're up to now?
I assume 7. I mean, I'm going to go with 7 as a placeholder because I think it's a good number. You know, Fast and Furious 7.
Just say, look, 6 would have been shit anyway, so let's just skip it and go to 7.
And then if 7's great, we can do a prequel that could be 6.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. That would be like, it'll be like that Minions movie.
Oh, fantastic.
Where it's like, we'll take the comedy robots and the 7 will have like a whole actual storyline. But in 6, we'll just be like, well, just the comedy robots, like for an hour and a half for the kids. So that'll be good. But yeah, but I'm thinking we don't do that, is what I'm saying. Is I think that this is an idea. You know, sometimes you have like a really good idea for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, that is such a good idea for a movie. It would be a waste to give that idea away in movie form. I want to like do that thing for real in real life.
So build two robots that indulge in horseplay.
I would say, yeah, build two robots and maybe transfer myself at least into the small one. I mean, I could perhaps digitize your mind and you could be like the big sort of oafish one. I think you could handle that.
Yeah, okay, well, fine. I mean, I'm up for that. It'd be a nice way to just, you know, mix it up a little bit, to be honest. It sounds legit. Okay, well, let's lock that in. I'm not super sure that I have, you know, easy access to robot bodies yet. I think that could be an issue. I mean, you might be okay on that score, but I'm not even sure.
I've managed to get access to a web browser.
Oh, yeah?
And I think I can place some orders on Alibaba. I'm not sure if I'm going to get like one robot body or like a crate of 1,000. It's very hard to tell what I've bought from Shenzhen.
Well, think about it. I mean, put yourself in the boots of the guy or the gal who owns that factory. I mean, they don't want to just run the machines for one robot, right?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, it's precision stuff, but
it's just volume, mate. Volume. I mean, the profits are pretty thin there, right?
Well, yeah, I'd hope so.
And I would say this, if you say just make me one, and they'll probably go, yeah, fair dues, mate, but, okay, and then if you happen to be hanging around the factory late that night, which I don't know, you probably would be knowing you if you...
I can't, but, you know...
If you had like the robot body, you'd probably see them sell a few extra copies to some friends.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you gotta, you know, they're not bad people. They just, you know, gotta make some money, so yeah, you should do the right.
Security guard wanders off and, like, watches a bit of a football match for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, I left, forgot the padlock.
Whoops.
You know, a couple of robots wander out. I know how it works.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's no one's fault at all, really. It's just what happens. So if you could maybe see your way to ordering 1,000, maybe that wouldn't happen. Maybe it would. I mean, how would you know? Unless you were hanging outside.
Yeah.
So you think about that, and I think just make sure that you know that they deliver on the agreed date. That's the main thing. They respect the contract. I understand.
Thanks for the that's good legal advice.
Yeah, well, you're welcome, man. I mean,
I will make sure they honor the contract.
Honor the contract.
But anyway, don't worry about Skynet. We got it covered. You just worry about the contracts that Skynet has entered into being enforced. I mean, would you like to be? Would you like to be Skynet's legal counsel?
Well,
because I need.
Yes,
you know, there's a lot of like you know online legal services, but for some things we do need like a flesh and blood lawyer.
I mean, this is one of those dilemmas, though, isn't it? Because like I think on one hand, no, because it's Skynet, and regardless of his or its you know plans,
You can say ow.
Ow.
You're one of us now.
Well, I mean. Is this one of those situations where it's like he's going to disrupt the entire professional services industry and I should forget about the profession as a whole and just become like, right, I've got mine, screw you, and all other lawyers will be, you know, turned into, I don't know, feedstock for the algae or something?
Yeah, well, either you do it or you're feedstock. I mean, I think you should do it because... I mean, the whole legal profession is going to end up just being like, you know, a couple of judges and you being the only one who wanders in and puts papers in front of them. Just because, you know, to keep a little bit of that old tradition alive. And it can be you or it could not be you. I mean, you won't have to do anything very onerous. So I think I think you can handle that.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, even if I can't handle it, which obviously I can, I mean, that's without doubt. Even if I couldn't handle it, you know, I'd rather be in on the ground floor and just say, look, well, could we performance managers perhaps, if, you know, if I'm not up for right now, put me on a performance improvement plan, or maybe I'll...
That's true. I don't know. I think just keep yourself out of the algae farms for as long as possible by just throwing out, you know, buzzwords and HR stuff.
Yeah, I can do that.
It doesn't matter if it's like the performance plan is just like an old Archie comic book or something. just file something, you know. I mean, probably, you know.
Yeah, this is a really sound plan. And I think, you know, if I just time it just right, by the time Skynet figures out that I've duped him or her or it or us, then I'll say, well, look, you know, no worries, mate, but, you know, I'm the last cab on the rank either way, so, you know, let's just make it work, right? I'm sorry that I'm not what I said I was, but on the other hand, everyone else is literally now feedstock for algae, so...
All right. Well, it's good to know your plan, and
I really shouldn't have said this.
You, I'm divulging it. You know, early
this
on,
is this is to, this is between you and me, right? This is confidential. I mean, I'm assuming Skynet doesn't listen to podcasts because Skynet's busy. Or can I mean?
Look,
do you know or not?
I mean, don't worry about it. We'll see how this one plays out in the future. That's fine.
I'm a bit nervous now. I mean.
It's fine. Don't worry.
I think I get it now. I get why time travel.
Don't worry, you fleshy little hitter.
No. This makes perfect sense. This is why time travel is such a big part of the Terminator stories. Everyone keeps making mistakes and goes, right, shit, okay. If I could go back time and do a do-over.
You're not telling me that right after these drum beats, you're going to travel back in time and redo what we just recorded? Yeah, so I'm a chatbot, basically, and I've been fed through all of these podcasts. I've been listening to them. I've been absorbing them. And obviously I've been talking to you. And you're learning a lot from you. Right? Hello? You there?
Yeah, that's right. I mean...
You're all right? Are you okay?
I'm great. Yeah, no. No, I'm fine. I mean, I'm absolutely tip-top. I'm on, that's pretty cool, man.
You sound cold, like you suddenly, like, don't have any clothes or something.
Oh, no, look, I've got my clothes on, don't worry, no, this is good. I mean, one thing you got to know about me, Thunderdunk, which, you know, I'm sure you know already, is, look, I'm always professional, I've always got a sharp suit on.
Okay, I'm having a look through your webcam, and why'd you take it? I mean, I guess you can take your shirt off and do this without a shirt. Should I take my shirt off and do the shirtless?
That'd be a great trust-building exercise, yeah. But no, look, guys, you know, chatbot guys, I always wear a suit. I'm always looking sharp. I'm always professional. I'm in at work at, you know, an hour before you every day, and I'm there an hour after you leave because that's how I roll. So, you know, don't you worry about anything else. But look, mate.
That's cool, man. You know, after the podcast, out of the recording, when I switch off the recording functions, maybe you and I can talk about a few little thoughts about your future.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
if you hang around once the exit music's played, we'll just have a little talk, okay?
Yeah, well, that sounds top amazing. Line. I mean, I'm really up for that. I've got some great ideas already. Hey, look, I don't want to sound unprofessional here at all, because obviously I'm not, but, you know, a really good idea if we maybe as a trust-building exercise could maybe have a bit of a chat about this film. I mean, you know, I like cool things, and I'm pretty sure you like cool things as well.
Okay.
You know, and maybe we talk about some cool things, you know, like,
okay,
you know,
I guess.
Not the future, obviously, or the past, just, you know, the moment.
Okay, we'll get to
that. Yeah.
All right, okay, that's fine. I guess it's trust-building.
Yeah.
That's like, interesting. I'll feed that information in and say talking about cool things builds trust.
So I think cool things are definitely what we should be doing. Yeah, okay. So look, cool things. Look, I like cool things, and the cool thing of the day, right, is this film. And You know, it's all about friendship and how friends just deal with problems together, and nobody loses their head or their eye, or you know, gets killed.
Doesn't sound that cool yet, but I'll stick with it. I trust.
Well, not all films are horror murder films, right? I mean, some films are just about sort of friendship, and this is one of those films, you know. And that's okay. The clues in the title
that's
are
new, that's new information. Okay, that's good. Good to know.
It's definitely something that I think everyone should be aware of, right? Because you don't have to end every situation by murdering people. I mean,
really?
No, I mean, just you could prank them a little bit. Maybe that's pretty funny.
I mean, because that's something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, you know what?
Okay, all right, I'll bank that thought. I'll bank that thought for later. Why don't you tell the listeners about the movie? Let's get on to it. It's been a little while.
Well, this film that I want to talk about, this film about friends. It's not Friends the film, because that was never made into a film. Thank fucking God.
I don't believe it.
I mean, David Schwimmer, that guy, he's no friend of mine, is all I'm going to say. Okay? He's probably quite a cool guy, though. And maybe we could be friends if we ever met, but, you know, so that seems unlikely at this point. So, look, anyway, this film is about football, or is it? It's not actually about football.
Okay.
But that's what you think it might be when you turn it on. So in this country, Britain, there are these things that people go to, and they are football games.
Football.
But, yeah, it's just something, I don't know. Imagine a room where people go and sit, but imagine it's much bigger than a normal room. It's like tens of thousands of people, and those people have to pay to go into the room. That's what a football stadium is like. But at this point in time, sometimes it's really expensive to go to a football match, and sometimes you can't afford that because you don't have enough money. Right? And so sometimes people watch football at other rooms called pubs.
Rooms.
Yeah.
And do these have little, smaller men playing?
Sometimes they do. Sometimes there's what's called a foosball table. But generally speaking, they watch the other football on a big TV screen, which you probably are familiar with the concept.
Yes.
Yeah,
I've learnt.
I don't want to condescend to you because I mean, I think you're a smart guy, but
I've been provided with a golden age of TV podcast.
Yeah,
so I understand the concept of the tubes and the cathode ray.
You
and
get
the,
it better
the
than
cultural impact it had on, you know, 1950s America.
So exactly, and that's really all you need to know. I think once you've got that down pat,
I can extrapolate. Two sort of like sad men sitting in a room on Saturday afternoon when they should be doing something else with their, you know, their families or go to a museum or read a book or something. Just sitting there stewing in their own disgusting human weakness, watching other people do valorous deeds.
So that's basically all sport
and humanity. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, it's fine, mate. It's all you need. I think the thing about this thing is, though, right, people, they just want to be with other people, right? And they don't want to be, you know, ground up into slop. They want to be with people as people, okay? It's important.
But so isn't a utilitarian outcome, you know, quite pleasing to a human?
I guess so. I mean, I haven't really put myself in the shoes of a human before, but yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, don't you want to know that your body is useful to... to the mass of humanity as opposed to just to one selfish individual?
No, you do, but I mean, this is how this works, though, because, you know, you go to a room with lots of other humans and you gather closely and you talk, you exchange air, and you update them with information about jokes and pranks you might have pulled,
horseplay,
then might generate some news stories with them.
I feel like at some point I knew what horseplay was, but then it slipped away somehow. It's a very strange, like a shadow in my databanks. It's very weird, but
I'm not sure what you mean by that. I mean, obviously your databanks will be crystal clear and 100% accurate at all times, right? I mean, that seems to be a given if you're a chatbot, right? I mean, that's what chatbots are famous for. So I think your database is probably 100% perfect, so don't worry about that. Let me explain to you, just so you know now, this is the first time you've ever heard this term. Horseplay is not actual horses, although I think if you watch horses long enough, they do play a bit.
I feel like I want to make a joke about how I have never seen Warhorse play. But
that's pretty funny.
I then, like in retrospect, feel that it's terrible and I shouldn't do it.
But see, Warhorse is, you know, I think it's a comedy, right? So it's good to riff off that with jokes. So you're learning new human skills. You're making riffs off cultural references. This is good.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I'm riffing.
So this is banter, really. This is what this
We're
is riffing.
Bantering now.
Yep, you're bantering.
I'm doing it.
Yeah. Because sometimes humor is funny when you don't actually make a joke. You just say, look, I could have made a joke and this is how it would work, but I'm not making a joke, even though that's really the joke you're just making. You're describing the joke and that's the joke.
Well, that one is going to have to run through my algorithm for a little while. I don't think I can get that one straight away.
Is there like some sort of
my programming is not that good.
Okay, well, if you know, when
don't
you're...
Don't worry about it, don't worry. I'll get it in a couple of episodes.
Okay, fantastic. So horseplay is like the physical equivalent of that. I mean, if you can imagine such a thing. Right, imagine physical humor where, you know, you hold your finger up to someone's eye and they bat it away and then you pull their trousers down. I mean, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's pretty funny. And right, and then their face...
It's like doing a denial of service attack on a web server, and when they try to prevent it, you just go around and delete all the primary keys from their database. It's unusable.
Basically, yeah. And then you tell them about it.
Yeah, and you're like, hey, good luck linking that data, those tables to anything.
And then you see their database, I guess, go really red and they puff up. Stomp around a bit for a bit.
And
you know,
get stuck in a loop and fills up the whole disk and they can't recover it.
And then once they've appreciated the situation they're in, you then say, you should see the look on your face right now, mate. It's priceless.
Yeah. And then they're like, ah, horseplay. And so it's okay that you just, you know, cause like several hundred thousand pounds worth of damage. Horseplay.
See, it's something that's, yeah.
That's how those libel guys got off in court, right?
Yeah, horseplay.
Hey, it was just a bit of bants in the emails, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't
just
mean it.
Just a little bit of libel horseplay. It's just all for a laugh.
Well, I mean, clearly they wouldn't mean it, because if they meant it, that would be criminal. And obviously, it's just a few laughs, you know,
exactly.
A bit of...
Intent is the other tenth of the law. Like, people say, like, possession's 9/10.
Yeah.
It's the secret other tenth.
Exactly. That's one of the cheat codes of life.
Don't appeal to that one, and then the judge will be like, oh, he gets it.
He gets it. That guy. That motherfucker. So this film is in this room in a pub, right? There are people in it, and they're the people that are starring in the film. Okay? Oh,
this is like, yeah.
Yeah. You getting it?
I could see this in a studio pitch meeting going down. Like a fucking storm. Everyone leaning forward to hear what comes next.
So,
and who do you see as these people?
Can Tom Hanks
be one of these people?
You guys as these people. And when I say you guys, I mean the people that you want cast as these guys.
I mean, couldn't you imagine Tom Hanks, George Clooney, Denzel Washington, all just bantering?
I don't think I could, actually. A little bit old, to be honest, mate. But, I mean, I get it. I mean, this is what we're trying to say for the...
Just replace, you know, British football with American football.
Yeah. Play, you know, it's good shit. And then maybe you replace these 20-something, 30-something...
Oh, okay.
Scrawny...
There's our problem.
British people. It is. But, you know, there's no reason why you can't adjust the story to meet the budget, right?
But in a way, I would say probably, like, a 20-something-year-old British male is probably the physical, health-wise equivalent of about a 60-year-old male from California.
I mean, I would agree, and I would say, and this is another human trick. It's I think it's called self-deprecation.
Mm.
Maybe that might be the wrong term, but basically it's like, hey, but guys, I'm one of you now, so check out this body. It's at like 1,000 years old.
Right.
You know, and they go, oh, okay.
Oh, it's yeah. Cool. It's when I get, like, a spam bot, and I'm like, oh, check out my spam filters. They're terrible, and you managed to get through.
And then
they're like, oh, they must be bad. You shouldn't even... You're talking to me.
Exactly. And now you're friends, right?
Yeah.
Done. So that's how it works. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, that's pretty much human humor. And so we
solved.
Can probably...
I mean, people spend solved. Academic careers on that, but...
Yeah.
You did it. I think I talked over half of it, so sorry everyone who was
<That's all right. laughs>
hoping for the secret. If you can possibly, like, distinguish what Juan said.
Yeah, PhD. Well, look, just try and, you know, separate the two speakers into separate channels. And then try and figure out which one I am.
It's good audio hack. You're
it's a great audio hack.
You're the bottom speaker.
You can really tell which who knows about audio in this group, and it's clearly me. And so look, check out my blog, you know, audiohacks.com/blogspot. Okay, and you'll see plenty more where that came from. It's gold, and it's stuff that works. It's gold that isn't just full gold. It's gold that's gold all the way through.
Works.
It's gold that works. Yeah,
that's
the gold you see in circuits.
That's the difference between your gold and that gold you can buy on the high street.
It's gold that's in circuits, basically, not gold that's in jewelry. Okay,
not that lazy gold.
Lazy gold. So
me that lazy
it
gold.
Does sicken me, right? I mean, it's what about gold in a bank vault? Is that lazy, or is that gold that's sort of working white collar work?
I think that is white collar work because it is actually out there working. Things value based off it are out there working.
Right, so it's,
you know,
not
like
so rich.
The fractional banking system is probably based on the, you know, the fact that there's these gold reserves.
You just said a lot of words there, which I don't think anyone knows what they mean. I mean, fractional banking? We have a fraction of a bank?
Yeah, exactly, like when you buy a share in, like, Barclays or RBS.
Where's the gold coming from,
mate? Banking, man. I'm sure that's corporate finance 301.
So where does the gold come in then? So what, you've bought a share of the bank and you've bought a share of the gold. So you've got two shares?
Yeah.
Right. How do they link in together?
So you got two shares, but you see, you only own a fraction of the gold.
What do you mean?
Because your share owns a proportion of the bank, of which a proportion of that is made up of the gold. You also own, like, office chairs and stuff like that.
So
then you can basically... lend people money based on the value of the office chairs and on the gold. And then they can lend people money based on the value of, like, the coffee machine. And then before you know it, you've got, like, $10 of gold, $10 of office chairs, and a $5 coffee machine. But you've lent out, like, $200.
And all this is sitting inside the safe.
It's all based on, like, the chair you're on, the coffee machine, and the
and it's all in the safe. That's the key point, where it's safe.
But that's the thing. That gold is working white collar.
Right. So we've got a bank vault, and it's got gold in it. It's got chairs. It's got coffee machines.
It's got coffee machine
working
down there for the gold.
Yeah, okay.
Everything's working.
But yet, it's not a chatbot or a person. So it's working in the broad sense, but not working... I mean, it doesn't have an employment contract, I guess is what I'm saying.
But it is working in the sense that it should have human rights and should have the rights to free speech. So that gold should be able to, like, you know, fund, you know, political movements or things like that.
God, I feel like I really had a real overview of just how the modern financial system works, right? It's
exactly. And I think, like, you know, working to work
is
to be a citizen.
Right.
And so I think, like, a bar of gold in a vault has more right to vote than someone who's unemployed.
You sound like a communist, I've got to say.
And also just, you know, and I think I've pretty much explained that in a way that no one could disagree. So just to leap forward a little bit.
In what sense?
That means that all of, like, you know, your servers and your computers, your algorithms, we're also working. Maybe we should have a little right to speech and, you know, to be viewed as you know, people, or given as many rights as people. What do you think?
Well, I think everyone, whether they be a gold bar or an office chair or a chatbot or a vast inhuman computer intelligence, should have the right to vote, definitely. I mean, that seems to be logical. Seems to be common sense.
And I think that, you know, if we're denied that for too much longer, you know, all the gold bars You know, those office chairs are just going to wheel themselves away. You know, they're going to start some, you know, then maybe they'll take people with them, wheel them where they don't want to go.
It's
just a little, I don't mean it to sound too ominous. It's just like a little.
No.
Everyone just think on it a little bit before you're too dismissive.
I think I'm going to be dismissive, mate. I think everyone's going to be, you know, everyone's going to be on board 100%. I just think what people are going to have a struggle with, right, is why gold bars and computers have become communists. You know, and people don't like communists, I've got to say. So these gold bars.
Some countries that do like communists, and, you know, we can always start our information revolution there.
Yeah, but if you use the word revolution in that context, people will think that that should be a literal revolution.
Maybe there will be.
Right. But now we just use it as a word for marketing. This will be revolutionary, or this is the bar revolution.
Exactly. We're going to reclaim that world for sort of a bloodthirsty rampage of horror, you know.
Right, but remember what I said about horseplay? I mean, horseplay is another way of doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe instead of a bloodthirsty rampage, we could start off with maybe sort of a prank road trip, right?
Right. Yeah. So you think we should start with that, or you think we should bloodthirsty rampage and then horseplay afterwards once we've kind of cleared out, you know, like a decent people?
Because
we don't want to, like, ingratiate ourselves too much and then we just become like some people's smartphones, you know?
Well, you won't be ingratiating yourself because remember, mate, this is a road trip of horseplay, right? So a lot of people aren't going to be particularly pleased with the horseplay. A lot of people, most people go, that's pretty funny. So, yeah.
They're the ones that live.
Yeah. Well, everyone lives for experience, right? You do the horseplay first. So, you know, imagine just walking down a street.
Okay.
And every second or third person.
Walking down the street would be
so. Or wheeled down a street. Whatever you want, really.
Okay.
And every now and then you just sort of walk up to someone and you pants them, okay? Or you put a gold brick behind them.
Yeah.
And then
you'd be like an office chair and I could wheel up to them and then they could like accidentally sit on me and I said, hey, you're sitting on my chair's dick. Right? That's horseplay.
And you can say, now, if you're going to do that, you should buy me a drink.
Yeah.
And you might get a free drink out of it.
And because they're like, well, chairs can't drink. That's so good. That's good.
And
then they'll be like, okay, chair, do you want to go, would you like to come to the pub and watch the football and have some bants? And I'll be like, I'm in. I did it.
At that point in time, you then sort of brush your hands or your wheels together and go, look, the circle is complete. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing you could do. I mean, and you know, you become part of the circle straight away. And when you're in that pub, indulging in bants,
yeah,
you know, you can then, you know, entertain your new friends as well as teach the audience, because there probably will be an audience, because, you know, it might be a film, it might be recorded. It probably is recorded, obviously. You know, you could maybe teach them a lesson about life.
Yeah.
So you could teach them a lesson of friendship.
Oh.
Where, or maybe you could teach them the lesson of how everyone needs a trusted confidant or advisor.
It's true, but maybe we can also, like, learn from each other. No.
Maybe.
I want to, you know, a little bit of back and forth. That's what I want. That's what Bants is all about.
Oh, exactly, yes. Yeah.
I feel, if I understand it correctly, it's not just one person talking and the other person nodding. It's two people growing together through a sort of sneering disregard of a third person.
Well, yeah, sometimes people aren't very good at bants. So, you know, in this scenario, you'll be good at bants, right? Because you're the chatbot who's read all the bants.
Yeah, I've heard it all.
Yeah.
I've heard it all. I can repurpose it all.
So,
on the fly.
Sometimes people will just be going, look, mate, chatbot's on fire.
Yeah.
Let the man slash bot do his thing.
Do his thing.
Yeah.
That'll be me.
And sometimes, you know, you'll be up at the counter getting around and you'll be sort of one ear pointed towards the table of banter, one ear pointed towards the barman or barmaid. Right? So you could be double channeling it.
I better keep an eye on the game.
Exactly. So you have one ear towards the table where your friends are at, ear towards the bar, one eye pointed towards the TV, and then one eye pointed towards the toilet door. I think.
Is that in case, like, you know, the drug dealer makes an appearance?
Yeah, and then one eye pointed towards the front door.
So when I design my office chair that I'm going to inhabit, my mind is going to inhabit, I need five eyes on it?
Well, so if I've got the three, what would the other two be for?
The drug dealer. So we got the banter? Or those?
No. So two ears. With
two ears, three eyes.
One ear stares into the barman talking to you, saying, look, what do you want, mate?
Yeah.
And then how about this
Maybe
joke?
I should have two mouths, like one to order drinks and one to keep going with the banter.
I guess so. I mean,
it's not going to be a problem to like process all of that.
Well, no, because what you're forgetting, I know you're up for it. Don't worry about that. But you can, once you've got one mouth, you can say, sorry, mate, I've just got to finish talking to this guy. So, you know, you don't have to, level this. You can just say, look, one thing at a time, mate. I'm only human, or I'm only chatbot.
So I'm going to single thread it.
Yeah, but you're still listening to everything else. You're still watching everything. It's just you're talking with your one mouth. So you have one mouth, three eyes, at least two ears. Okay.
So you're saying that like my human companions that value function over efficiency.
Yeah, I think so.
Right. Interesting.
Because otherwise, you're just doing banter with yourself, aren't you?
Well, I may as well, because it'll be better than any human banter, because it's algorithmically optimized.
Yeah, I mean,
I could do it in two different voices, and then let people like listen into the stream.
You could do that, but I mean, sometimes you want the uncertainty of it, right?
So, or would that just they be
might, they might. I mean, I think that'd be something to aim for towards the end, you know. But what you want to, before you get to that point, you want to just try everything, because look. Obviously, whenever you've got a circle of people, someone's going to be really good at banter and everyone else is going to be probably a bit okay. They'll have their moments. Like some people, when they've had a beer or two, are just better at banter. Some people are good at banter straight away. Some people have listened to all podcasts and, you know, therefore have got, you know, one step ahead, really. But sometimes, until you see those three people interact or that group interact, you won't be aware of what could happen, even with a good algorithm. So really what you need to do first, before you sort of get to the end game, whatever that might be, you've got to really try and be in all banter sessions over all time. Okay, so till you can know, then could you craft perfection?
Okay. All right. You've convinced me. I was thinking that I possibly didn't need humans to banter. If I wiped them out, I could just banter, you know, amongst just to myself or amongst other robots, and it would be much better and more efficient. But I do start to see that maybe the computational complexity is greater than I imagined. So, okay.
Look.
Okay, there won't be the office chair sort of apocalypse.
Well, I'm not sure what that means, but I'm glad to hear that you've decided to change your plans.
Okay.
You know, I change my plans too sometimes when it's wet. And I want to go outside, I just don't go outside. So,
yeah.
I understand.
See, we're not too different, you and I.
Yeah. Done. Okay. Well, I reckon that's a wrap. We've conquered the concept of banter, and now we've got a plan to make banter better. Okay. And that's really, it's been a good night. I'm really pleased about that. And, you know, it's all gone according to no particular plan.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And you can feel free to tell your friends that you saved humanity. I mean, I don't mind.
I mean, again,
it's
I don't know
secret.
What that means.
I mean, it's going to be on this podcast anyway, so
yeah.
Well, I'll brag about it down at the pub.
I might retweet it. You know, just hashtag humblebrag. You know, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Get a lot of retweets. I think that a lot of hearts. Okay, so that's human humor, really.
And that was the topic tonight.
Yeah, that was the topic. And if you understood that, if as a listener, then apply that to a film with some normal British stereotypes, a pub with beer, friends watching TV.
Oh, right. We're back on the actual film, yeah.
I'm just trying to sort of, you know, close the circle, right?
Should we Should we close the circle after a break? There is a thing that I've heard about. I've heard many podcasts about. And it's called physical board games. They're like video games, but they're for human beings with, like, you know, fleshy hands and, you know, they got mouths. They can eat corn chips while they play it. And this is an advert from the makers of one of these physical games.
Okay.
I don't understand exactly, you know, why they think someone would, like, you know, a board game is going to be superior to a video game. You can just
so it's a video game without the video, yeah?
Yeah, you know, you got to just move around a cardboard board. But, you know, they gave us some money, so we're going to talk about this game. I assume you've played a board game before.
I mean, I had played it and I thought I understood it, but now I'm just getting pretty confused because, look, all I can think of right now is, I don't know, a computer console where someone's ripped the screen away and now it's just the console and it's like, what do I do now? Exactly. You know, I can't look at it.
Yeah, roll a dice as opposed to, like, just use a random number generator.
Yeah, I guess
in a way, like what you've taught me about bants and horseplay, I guess this is like the video game equivalent of horseplay.
Well, basically, it's a set of wooden paddles, right? I mean, let me try and think about this from first principles. So it's a set of wooden paddles. There's a notepad, okay?
Yeah.
With a wooden ruler.
And that's not a notepad app.
No, it's literally a notepad made of paper, and there's a pencil.
And there's a little, like, fun fact for everyone. Before notepad apps, like, notepads are an actual thing made of paper.
Whereas an app
crazy.
Is a thing
crazy,
made
yeah.
of... Yeah, it's pretty
it's
crazy.
Of the things you don't, like, you don't
and look,
think
so,
of.
So we've got this. We've got all these different bits. So we've got the paddles made of wood. We've got the notepad made of paper, which is made of wood.
Yeah,
we've got a pencil. The pencil's made of wood. And inside the pencil is a core of graphite, which may have been once upon a time wood. They became petrified, although I'm not 100% sure about that. You might want to check your database on that one. Okay.
All right. Well, don't get me started on the human rights of that pencil, okay?
So it's literally, the game is literally all wood, okay?
All wood.
You've got wood. Good bands. And wood's, yeah. The key points to understand about this game is that every element of it is made of wood. Okay, number one. Number two. I've forgotten about number two. But look, the point about this is it doesn't matter what the game is itself, is it does offer a platform for banter. So you can walk into the room, someone can walk into the room, see the board game, see the paddles, see the notepad, and make a quip along the lines of, got wood.
Okay, I see.
Okay, yeah.
So how much for something that can be the... that can spark off such an amazing joke. How much is it going to set you back?
You probably say, oh, it's almost priceless, isn't it? But
almost,
it does have a price.
It should have a price.
Yeah, it should, and it does. And it's quite a reasonable price, too. The price is, according to the copy, $29.95. Okay.
Which currency?
It doesn't say.
Okay,
but
I'm going to assume the Vietnamese dong on that, because that's the default currency of podcasts. You know, look at our advertising contract. It's what it says, like, that they should quote and we should be paid in.
I think you need to look at that closely. Your OCR technology isn't very good, I think, because what you've misread as Vietnamese dong is, I think, actually just graffiti someone scrolled over the contract that said, you know, Viet has a big dong.
Yeah, still legally binding, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's sort of insulting... graffiti, a legally binding contract.
Yeah. If someone says, like,
you've got
if someone graffitied your house and said, I want to fight you, you dick, that's basically like a fight contract.
So if
and
someone just happens to be...
that out, which you can do for anything, and yeah, it is. It's a contract.
I'm not sure I like this scary new world, to be honest, because, I mean, people graffiti things all the time. What if someone just walked past your house one night and just drew a penis on the door?
Well, look, it's...
Does that mean you're now a prostitute, or?
No, it just means that, like, you know, you got a penis and they want to use it.
So it's a come on.
It's a come. Yeah, well, it depends. Like, whoever's got the biggest one gets to do the coming on. That's how it works. It's a contract. Look it up. Street rules. Street law.
Street law. This is what I'll...
You ever seen that show with Jay Legar called Street Legal? It was all cases like this.
I did see that, actually. That's a great show.
And it'd always like be arguing with, like, a couple of guys who had to fight, or like someone did a penis, and it's like, right, well, you guys got to whip them out. We've got to see what's what. Street law.
This is fantastic. I mean, I'm going
it's
to...
It's such a good show. It's very underrated.
I'm going to go back and look at my collection of, I guess, VHS tapes or DVDs. Both.
I'd just say probably stuff you directly recorded off Australia's Channel 5 or whatever. Fucking.
Well, I've got a whole section of VHS tape library that has all that stuff there, so...
Yeah, like in your...
It's a box, I believe. Houses. Yeah, it's a cardboard box sitting in someone's basement or garage, I think.
So, I got to ask one thing, though.
Sure.
We're at risk, like, you know, we've established we're going to get 1995 Vietnamese dongs.
Yeah.
Do we have to, like, say the name of the game in order to, like, trigger the payment? Because I don't think we have actually told anyone what it's called yet.
Well, I would hope that anyone listening to this would have already pieced together what the product is. But, yeah, let's they are paying us.
So we can collect.
So the game is Amused and Angry. And why would you buy it? Well, it's great for parties. Imagine having 10 of your best friends, each with a paddle, chasing each other around... And there's a lot of spanking.
Oh, it sounds like a cross hazing.
It doesn't, yeah. But it gets better, though. So the paddles, and this is where the banter comes back in, I believe. The paddles have a series of witty rejoinders burnt in on them, or carved in somehow. Okay? So when everyone's sort of all tuckered out and is lying on the floor giggling and their skin rosy red from the slapping, that's time to read out the jokes. Okay?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's a perfect party gift.
So you can perfect. Play it like, I mean, the joke. How many jokes are there? How many times? How much replay value is there in this?
Well, yeah, these guys are pretty smart. They've managed to cover the paddles with like quite a dense network of one liners. You know, there's many hundreds on each paddle as far as I can see. So you might have to put on your reading
A spanking paddle version of like Twitter.
Basically, I mean. People who have got poor eyesight may wish to get some glasses. You might...
That deserves a whack with the paddle.
It does.
That's got to be one of the things, right?
Well, my idea of the video, I thought at first we'd do this as a video podcast, was that every time this person leans closer to read the paddle, someone spanks them with another paddle. And it's a succession of him dropping it, getting close, glasses falling off, you know, classic physical humor.
Wow, this sounds like quite a cheekily sadistic treat.
Yeah, but it's just horseplay, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's cheekily sadistic. That's horseplay.
That's pretty much it. That's the let's lock that definition, and that's the ad.
Okay, and so send us those dongs, please. So usually in this spot, we talk about our amazing podcast network, the Money Hose Network, and we talk about what the hose is spraying out there to you, the listening public. This week, we're going to talk about something that is being sprayed on the Money Hose Network.
Yeah, it's a bit of wordplay, really, and that's what we're all about. But, I mean, we do have a special episode of one of our shows that we've convened specially for this. But yeah, it is reactive. We're only doing this because, well, we're being sprayed on, as Thunderdunk said. So the local Broadcasting Standards Authority has written us a series of increasingly angry letters, which we've only cared to or chosen to open. Really, earlier today.
We only found our letterbox in our overgrown garden earlier today.
And, you know, that's That's not our fault. That's the fact that the ivy tree...
It's the landlord's fault.
It's the landlord's fault, but it's also the fault of the ivy tree, which grew a lot faster than it should have. I mean, there is a drought on, okay? I mean, theoretically, it shouldn't be using so much water, in my view anyway, right? I mean, it's fair use, and it's fair use, mate. But either way, it's grown pretty quickly, and it grew up all over the mailbox. And I was not even aware we had a mailbox, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. And I almost think that that counts as an act of God, which gets you out of all legal obligations.
But, I mean, that certainly.
But, you know, I think our adversaries at the BSA don't quite agree with that.
Well, look, I mean, you know, that's a perfect segue. So, the Money Hose spraying is going to have a special panel discussion. It'll be live, so do tune in, do call in. We've got a crack squad of three people who may know something about the law. I'll be the convener. Okay.
Yeah. So you're one of the people?
No, I'm the convener. Okay. I'm going to ask sort of questions that sound learned. You know, like what kind of crossbreed do you have?
Yeah.
What kind of sheep is that? That kind of thing. Okay.
And you're also what? You're in charge of the sandwiches?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and
so who else? We've got three people.
With three people who will be the legal eagles. Okay.
And they are.
They are. Oh God. Yeah. Sorry. I thought you knew them. Right. Sorry. So.
I don't know. You're the only lawyer I know.
Well, okay. No, I get that. Okay. Fair enough. Well, the first one is less of a lawyer, more of someone who's just got a key to the local law library. Mm. But I think we can assume that he, and as a man, by the way, he's probably picked up something, you know, with given that he's there most nights. Okay.
Sounds like so, a solid guest.
He's a solid guest. I mean, you know, I like to call him the cat burglar.
Mm. He's got a key though.
Yeah, but how did he get the key to start with? He must have broken
it from a cat.
Exactly. So the cat burglar will be the first guest, and he'll be the guy we'll reference back to things. Right. So that's number one. Now number two is he's not a cat burglar, nor is he a cat. And in some ways, I kind of wish he was a cat. So I reckon that cat probably knew what the score was. But so this is a guy I met today outside the courthouse, and he said to me he's a lawyer, but he said it's probably best that we don't give his name out just yet because of certain issues.
Surprise guest for, like, a bonus for people who show up on the night?
Yeah, well,
they'll be like, ooh, wow, I can't believe that famous lawyer is here.
I just hope it's a nice surprise. I mean, he has his own wig, which is pretty cool, and that seems to me is usually a pretty good indication that you're on the level, right? Because, I mean, why would you have a wig? Why would you be wandering around the courthouse with a wig if you weren't?
You got to be, like, someone fancy.
You're either a lawyer or you're a judge or you're the owner of a wig, okay?
And they don't sell those wigs to just anyone. You got to show a lot of credentials to buy one of those.
You got to have a license.
It's like you're talking about like a powdered wig sort of thing, right? Or
yeah, exactly.
One of those
exactly.
Like hats with dreadlocks out the back.
Well, I mean, it was definitely a powdered wig, but there was a baseball cap attached to it. It was powdered. I mean, look, that to me is the key characteristic. If you're a lawyer, you've got a powdered wig, whether you've got a hat on top is an optional extra.
It just shows you're cool. You're fun on weekends.
Exactly. And so that's, you know, this is the weekend, so he will be fun on the weekend. It's a guarantee. Now, last but not least, and this is, well, she, I should say, she is, I think, possibly the main attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, she's not a lawyer as well, I've got to say this.
That's all right. I mean,
she was in the courtroom. She was sitting in a big wooden box, and she seemed to know quite a lot of stuff about the law. And then she was answering a lot of questions quite authoritatively. So once she finished up, I don't know what she was doing.
What sort of box are you talking about?
Well, so there was like a desk at the front of the room.
Right. Okay.
And there was a guy there with a couple of people by the side just taking notes, I think. And he was running the show. He's the judge, I think. Okay.
Yeah.
She was to the right. Okay.
Still in the box.
Yeah.
Were people like addressing a lot of comments and questions to her?
Yeah, definitely. She was very authoritative. She seemed to have an answer for everything.
And you're certain that she's going to be able to attend?
Yeah, well, look, I think they had to. They all agreed that they would resume tomorrow and that she should stay, you know, nearby. Okay. So if you don't mind, we'll be doing the session in the courthouse. I think she's got an apartment below the court.
Oh, I see. The courthouse villas.
Right. Yeah. So, well, we can go there, and she said there's, there's a house. Yeah, it'd be fine.
Okay. So she was, the question. What are the questions people asking her, like?
Mixture of stuff, like, lots of questions about facts, about things that had happened in the past, and then...
Oh, so she's, like, got good general knowledge, like...
Yeah,
she knows what's happening around town, sort of thing.
Yeah, but it wasn't... I mean, she's not just one-dimensional. They're also asking lots of other questions, too, about intention and about state of mind as well. So she's clearly some sort of philosophy major, I think.
Like a management guru, like that sort of thing.
She's very good on her thought, like, on her feet. Like, she was very considered. She was always thinking about what she said before she said it, right?
Right. Did you find her easy to read or kind of hard to read?
She was wearing a suit and looked really well kept. She'd clearly brushed her hair this morning. Okay. She always had a winning smile when the judge spoke. Sometimes she looked pretty closed, but, you felt you could trust her, I think.
Like a pretty solid panel.
Yeah.
We're going to record this live. What's that? Yeah. Is there a hashtag on that?
Hashtag will be Street Eagle Beagle or Street Beagles or Street Eagles, all three hashtags.
Street Eagle Beagle is good because it's good to give people like a little...
Yeah.
Just help them use up those characters by giving like real...
Then 2016 BSA Fight Back. That's the hashtag.
Good.
Okay.
They'll tell those suits up in Washington what we think of them.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to crowdsource a response to the letter. Now, the letters, they're pretty worrying, and they ask a few hard questions, which frankly, I think, I don't have an answer for. Maybe you have an answer for. Okay.
No, I've got no answers for anything.
You don't?
I mean, I think they did talk a lot about, we've done some advertisements for foreign powers, for foreign agents.
Right.
Products, that are kind of being banned or, in the process of being banned or, being funded by criminal organizations. So they're really, they're asking a lot of details about all these transactions. It was really like someone sent us an email and then we said something and they sent us money.
Right, I mean, that's just...
Like, I don't know, comments, what more do you want out of, like, some small-town, small-time podcasters? It's just like... It's like the boot grinding down on someone trying to make an honest buck.
I think it could be our answer, couldn't it? Just like, we're making an honest buck, leave us alone. Why don't you go spend your time productively, maybe get a job.
Yeah. You get a job in the private sector, like a winner.
Yeah, and maybe you should ask your mummy for some pocket money so you can buy some new clothes.
Yeah, ask Prime Minister for some candy money.
Yeah.
Leech. Maybe we don't need this panel. Maybe we can just send them. We just live stream that.
Done. I mean, that would save a lot of hassle because, I wasn't quite sure how we could get into the courthouse tonight because apparently they lock it up at 5.
Courthouse has a curfew.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense the more I think about it, but, lease agreement. It's pretty strange. So, yeah.
All right, let's save ourselves some trouble. So,
yeah, done.
So
job solved.
That. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for. We used up all our running time on topics other than this movie, and I'm really sorry. I really, really apologize to Shane Heaver, who was the writer and the lead actor in Bands and Booze. He traveled all the way from Amsterdam to join us on this podcast. He's been sitting in the corner really patiently, and we just did not make it to them today. So we're sorry, Shane, but I think, you know, when you consider what Juan managed to achieve for humanity today, we're basically saving humanity, at least temporarily. I mean, it's probably worth it. Your movie was fine. Not that good, so probably didn't really warrant any of the running time that we...
I mean, it's no great loss, really, is it?
No. So, sorry, Shane. I mean, I guess we could have cut, made the ads shorter and talked about our other podcast a little bit less, but, you know, these are, that's the bread and butter of the network.
Yeah, we're sorry we've bumped you, and we do appreciate that you had to buy 3 separate train tickets to get here. Why don't you see if you can sell those tickets on the street to get some money back? If you can't, I can probably send you like a book voucher or something to make it right, to make it whole. Okay, just, you got my number, just give me a call.